Now to the opportunity to come to the Word of God, let the Word of God challenge us and speak to our hearts. So turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. We have been in Nehemiah the last two Sundays and looking at the phrase where Nehemiah said, I am doing a great work. And he was a man of God, led of God, to do a great wall building project. The walls of Jerusalem had been broken down. And they needed to be rebuilt. The name of God was brought under reproach. That's what really concerned him more than anything. And so God had called him and led him to do a great work. But along the way, he was going to experience opposition. We notice in chapter 2, I had you turn to chapter 4, but notice in chapter 2 and verse number 10, we notice who his enemies are, his opposers are. When the Bible says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. And we find in verse number 19 that they scorned Nehemiah and the children of Israel for even thinking about rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. So the Bible clearly points out to us who Nehemiah's opposers were. When we set out to live for God, church, and do His work, we can expect opposition. In fact, the more progress you make in your spiritual life, the greater your conflict will be with the forces of evil. Satan will seem to even come at you harder because he doesn't really want two things. One, he doesn't want anybody to be saved. He doesn't want anybody to come to the knowledge of the truth. Praise God, though, that the grace of God is greater than Satan. You and I are testimonies to that reality. But there's a second thing that Satan doesn't want. He doesn't want any of God's people really trying to live for the Lord. He doesn't want us to get excited about the things of the Lord. He doesn't want us to get excited about the work of the Lord. If he can just get us to a place where we're just kind of ho-hum in a Christian life, just kind of going along to get along and so forth, then he's got us right where he wants us. But he is going to, if you would, really oppose those who set out to live for God. He will. It isn't just the pastors that Satan is going to oppose. He will oppose any of us in this congregation this morning who really determine that I am going to live for God no matter what. I am going to get myself on the path to live for Him, read His Word, spend time in prayer, tell others of the gospel. I will tell you that it won't be smooth sailing for you, but it will be a time of great blessing for you if you will stay at it. And Nehemiah is an example of a man, even though he had opposition, even though he had these people that were going to come against him, he still said, you know what, I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what. So we come to chapter 4 this morning of Nehemiah, and we see how strong and how real this opposition was. So notice with me, if you would, begin with me now at verse number 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat, remember, he's one of the enemies, heard that we built the wall, he was wroth, that means he was angry, and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. So here we see in this context the opposers that are coming against Nehemiah and the children of Israel. And here is the question, what are you and I to do when facing opposition as we set out to live for the Lord? Let me give you four truths found in the Word of God that will help each and every one of us Because again, when we set out to live for God, you can expect some opposition. Notice, first of all, the first truth is this, is that we must remember to whom we answer. Look again at verse number 3, where Tobiah said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." Now here we see Tobiah's mistake. Tobiah had believed that this was their stone wall, meaning that this was a wall that had belonged to the children of Israel. This was just some scheme that Nehemiah had come up. But he had failed to realize that he wasn't opposing the people as much as he was opposing the God of the children of Israel. In other words, this was God's project. This was God's leadership in all of this. So the opposition was really comes right down to the fact that they were opposing God. Though they opposed Nehemiah, though they opposed the people of God, this really was God's wall. This was his project. And quite frankly, they were standing against, if you would, which is kind of unimaginable to think about, but they were opposing God. Now, with that in mind, we notice, church, this morning, that in the same way, our mission is a heaven-sent mission. The Bible says, for instance, in Mark 16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That is our lifelong mission as a Christian. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is a heaven-sent mission. But because it is a heaven-sent mission, you can then expect that Satan and his demons will do all that they can to oppose our efforts in advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when you are criticized, slandered, or mocked for the cause of Christ, remember this, that you don't answer to your critic, you ultimately answer to the Lord. Now, why is that so important? Because one day, you and I, as God's people, we are going to stand before what the Bible calls the judgment seat of Christ to receive reward. And we are going to stand before him and we are going to give an account. And Lord willing, we will be able to hear these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what I want to hear. How about you? And we find in this context of Scripture that Nehemiah ignored the criticism. Look at this in verse number 6. "So built we the wall." The opposers were coming against them, but Nehemiah would not even take the time of day, if you would, to answer his critics. He just said, "Here's what we're going to do. We're just going to continue to stay at the wall. We're just going to ignore this criticism that is coming against us." Now, do you find it easy to live for God in these days in which we are living in? If you keep up with the news at all, you will realize that the news is becoming more and more unfriendly to people like you and me. We are being ridiculed. We are being mocked. We are even in some ranks being despised. Now, that while that may alarm us in what we call a Christian country, a Christian nation, I would remind us that Jesus even taught us that if the world hates you, remember that it hated me before it hated you. And so the world is going to come against you when you set out and try to live for the Lord, and they are going to try to criticize you and make fun of you, maybe even ridicule you. And you say, "Pastor, that doesn't sound very inviting. Why would I really want to live for the Lord then?" But the truth of the matter is, there are a lot of blessings to live for the Lord. Would you say amen? There are a lot of blessings to serve the Lord. And we find, though, that the reality is that while we're doing a great work, there we have to remember the one to whom we're going to give an answer. And so here, Nehemiah just went about building the wall. Now notice the second truth to help us as we face opposition. And that is, very simply, one word: we need to pray. Look in chapter 4, now verse 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So now Nehemiah goes about building the wall, but before he continues to build the wall, he lifts up his heart unto the Lord. He takes time to pray. Look at verse number 9. He says, nevertheless, we made our what? We made our prayer unto God. Look, if you would, in chapter 6 of Nehemiah. Chapter 6, and start with me at verse number 1. Because sometimes the pressure of the opposition is relentless. Look at this now, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I builded the wall, that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Now note verse 4. Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. So here we see that these enemies, these opposers, were relentless. Their pressure was great. They just didn't take Nehemiah's answer, no, just and say, all right, we're just going to leave him alone. They came to him four times. In fact, verse number 5 says they even came to him a fifth time. And we find in the context that this enemy was very relentless. And God will use, I want you to understand this, God will use the pressure of opposition. When we set out to live for the Lord, God will use the pressure of opposition to teach us the power of prayer. Nehemiah, if you would, as you go back to chapter 4, he did not rely on his own ingenuity, but when the opposers were coming against him, he says, so, nevertheless, we made a prayer unto our God. We took the time to pray. How's your prayer life lately? The late Abraham Lincoln said this, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go, my own wisdom, and that all about me seemed insufficient for the day. But did you catch what he said? I have been driven many times to my knees by this overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. And may I say this morning that every Christian in this congregation this morning, we all face a common enemy. His name is Satan. Now he is on the path to devour us. He wants to defeat us. He wants to distract us. I don't know how many times, I don't even keep count. I don't know how many times over the years in my life that in a church service have I walked down the aisle and I have made certain decisions made right here, made at other places, such as, Lord, I haven't been praying as I should. Lord, teach me to pray more. Or I've made other decisions. I'm burdened for souls and I want to see somebody saved and I haven't been telling them, whatever it may be. But as soon as I get up off my knees, you know where I'm going with this, some of you. And I walk out the door of the building. I will have Satan doing what he can to distract me from sticking to the decision that I made to live for the Lord. You see, this morning, here's what I know. Our enemy is real. Our enemy is relentless. But praise God, we're on the winning side. We're on the victorious side. We can have victory in the battle. And Nehemiah, while he's doing this project, he's having the victory in the battle. But what he does, he just takes time to say, hold it, while we're building, let's take some time to pray. Let's take some time to really seek God in this matter. And they did. I think about another example of this in the Bible. I think about a man by the name of Elijah. Elijah came on the scene in a very wicked time. Israel had a king who was the most wicked king in Israel up to that point. His name was Ahab. His wife was just as wicked, if not more wicked. Her name was Jezebel. But Elijah goes before Ahab and says, it's not going to rain by the space of 3 years. And then at that point, God takes Elijah aside. He goes by the drying brook and he learns about God. God takes them to a widow, and he learns something else about God in that relationship with that widow. And then, now he is prepared to go to Mount Carmel and stand before the 450 prophets of Baal. And he says, here's what you do. You build yourself an altar, you pray to your God, and whoever answers is going to be the true and living God. Well, we know the end result of that whole account is that Elijah had prayed, fire had come down from heaven, Elijah's God was the true and living God, and the prophets of Baal cried out and said, the Lord, he is God. It was a great moment of victory. Man, I wish Elijah could have stayed there and just lived in victory from that point on. But the enemy was relentless. Oh, Jezebel says, I want that man's life. Now this man of God, who had just seen the power of God, is running for his life. He gets himself aside and finally gets enough far away from her, and he lifts up his voice to God and says, God, would you just take my life? Is this the same man that had just prayed fire down from heaven? Yes, it is. But listen to this verse. James 5:17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. What does that mean? Elijah, this man of God, was made of the same clay that you and I are made of. He faced the opposers like we face the opposers as we set out to live for God. And then here's what the rest of that verse says. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. What helped Elijah? Here's what it is. Listen carefully. What helped Elijah in the battle was this, was prayer. Go to Ephesians, would you? You got your Bibles there. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. When you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, you will find, beginning at verse number 10, he talks about the Christian warfare. And in this, he tells us that we're to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then we come to verse number 18. Many times we have a temptation to stop at verse 17. But verse 18 is just as important to the armor of God. Here it is, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What is this teaching us? Listen carefully, church. One of the big things that helps us to persist through opposition, because we're going to have our opposers. We're going to have those times when they will come against us as we seek to live for God. When they come against us, what helps? Retaliation? No. What helps is this, that we look up to God and we pray. The Bible says, pray how often here in verse 18? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There have been many times in my life over the years as a Christian when I have faced Satan. When I have had to deal with him and his temptations coming my way, and I will tell you that one of the things that has helped me so much was the practice of prayer. Because when I am weak, the Bible says, then am I made strong. because God shows himself strong on behalf of those of us when we are weak in the spiritual battle. And so Nehemiah teaches us that the way we persist through opposition is that we do it through prayer. Now notice in verse number 6, as you try to stay awake, look now at verse number 6. So built we the wall, and all the half was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. What was this? What was this now? What were they doing? Here's the third truth. If you're going to persist through opposition, you do it by continuing to build. So built we the wall. They didn't go on strike. They didn't do anything of that nature because they realized that the best way to answer your critic is to accomplish your task. Nehemiah wasn't going to answer his critics. He was going to just stand tall. He was going to live for God no matter what the opposition said, and he was going to stay at it, and they built the wall in 52 days. What an amazing feat it was, but we find that these people did just that. They just said, we're going to continue building. Now, church, listen carefully. Our enemy, Satan, wants to do all that he can to sidetrack us. Let me give you some three Bible examples. The 10 spies who were sent out to go spy out the land of Canaan. Now, there were 12 that were sent out, but I want to think about the 10. The 10 came back, and they sadly said, yes, there's some great fruit in the land, but all they really could see was the giants in the land. And Satan had sidetracked them through the spirit of unbelief. I think about Solomon. Solomon, a man, asked one request of God. He could have asked for anything, but he asked God for wisdom. God gave him wisdom. But he didn't listen very carefully to God because he said that there are certain women that I do not want you to associate yourself with. If you do, they're going to turn your heart away from me. Solomon did not listen. He was not wise at that point. He disobeyed God, and sure enough, his heart was turned away from the Lord. He had, get this now, 700 wives and 300 concubines. Now, I say this respectfully to you ladies, but men, how many of you would say one wife is enough? Yes. I'm glad for the wife of my youth. Right, Brother John? 60 years together. Praise the Lord. But here was a man, 700 wives, 300 concubines. What was this man thinking? He wasn't thinking godly thoughts. What had he given into? The lust of the flesh. His heart was turned away from the Lord. Satan distracted him, sidetracked him. Let me give you one other example. I referenced this in the adult class this morning. But a man who partnered with the Apostle Paul to advance the gospel. But the Bible says, and his name was Demas, and here's what the Bible says about Demas. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What happened? He got sidetracked. You see, church, here's what you got to just stay in tune to. Satan wants you to be defeated. He wants you to get sidetracked on things that really don't matter. He doesn't want you living in victory. He doesn't. So he will do everything that he can to sidetrack you. What's the challenge? To do what Nehemiah and the wall builders did. In face of the opposition, they continued to build. Take your Bible and turn with me, if you would, to the New Testament book of 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I want you to come with me, if you would, starting at verse number 5. And while you're turning there, I'll read one verse from chapter 3, verse number 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What's the Bible saying to us? That we are, as God's people, to continue to grow. We're to just keep advancing. We're to keep, if you would, building our lives spiritually. Okay, now that in mind, notice the 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence. In other words, this isn't like I'm going to start and then I'm going to quit and I'm going to start and I'm going to quit. In other words, I'm going to give all diligence to this. What am I going to give diligence to? I'm going to add to my faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, patience, godliness, and to brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. These are the building blocks of faith. I just keep building. I keep building. I might get discouraged in the walk. All right, so I do. I get my heart right back in the right place I need to go, and I keep building. I keep adding to my faith, virtue and virtue, knowledge and knowledge, temperance. In other words, this is a lifelong process, but the Bible is saying, yes, you're going to have your opposers, but keep on building. Keep on growing. Let me ask you, have you grown recently in your walk with the Lord? If I were to come up to you today, and don't worry, I'm not going to unless you come to me and ask me and we talk about it. But if I were to come up to you and just on an individual basis and say, tell me, where have you been growing spiritually in your life in the last month? Could you say, Pastor, it's been in this area, and you fill in the blank? I trust that I could hear from many of you, this is where I'm growing. This is where I'm gaining in my walk with the Lord. This is what I'm getting from the Word of God. This is what I'm getting from my spirit of prayer. This is what I'm getting in my walk with God. Because I tell you, the opposers are going to come. But you can have the victory as you just continue to build. Now, if you go back to Nehemiah, and I want you to go back there, you will find that when the people got discouraged in the wall-building project, by the way, they did. They did get discouraged. So Nehemiah, being a wise leader, said, all right, here's what we're going to do. The project has to keep going. I can't afford any of you to come off the wall. But here's what we'll do. I want some of you to take a trowel in your hand, and I want some of you to take the sword in your hand. What was he teaching them? We're going to continue to do the wall building project, but while we're doing it, we're going to build, we're going to battle, we're going to build, we're going to battle, we're going to build, we're going to battle. And so may I say this morning, in our life, we are not 100% always battling, but I will tell you, when we battle, what helps us in the battle is this, is that we continue to build, that we continue to grow. Are you growing as a Christian? Are you growing? Continue to build. Now notice, back to chapter 4 of Nehemiah and verse number 9. Here we see the fourth truth to help us persist through the opposition when it comes our way. And that is one word, watch. Notice this now. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. The enemy was coming, but what was important? While some of the wall builders slept, there were some sentries, some watchmen that were up on the wall watching to see if the enemy was approaching. You see, they could not afford in this wall building project just to relax, let down their guard, and say, well, Nehemiah, we've done good. Let's take a week off and we'll come back at it when we get back. No. They had to stay at task. And as they did, they were able to see the project to completion. Now, church, Christian casualties are real. And we cannot afford to let our guard down when we are seeing progress made in our lives as believers individually or as a church body. We can't allow our guard to go down. Again, turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I want you to notice verse number 13 of this passage. 1 Corinthians 16 starts off with the same word that we find in verse number 9 of chapter 4 of Nehemiah, and here's what he says. Watch ye, Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. 1 Corinthians 16:13. But again, stay alert. That's what he's saying. Watch. Stay alert. Go with me to one other passage. Romans chapter number 13. Romans 13, I want you to see this. The same kind of spirit of watching. Notice now what he says here in Romans chapter 13, verse 11. He says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." What's again the Bible saying here? Stay alert, stay alert, stay alert. Don't let your guard down, because the enemy has a different way of approaching us, but the enemy can be relentless. He doesn't want you to have victory. He doesn't want you to live in victory. He wants you to just be sidetracked, be sidelined. But God wants you to persist through the opposition. That's the principle that we see in chapter 4. That Nehemiah persisted through the opposition. So built we the wall. So we prayed. So we made a watch. Yes, the enemy is real. But we are doing a great work. And we will not be deterred from doing what God has called us to do. And Nehemiah led them in that project. May I say, church, this morning to each and every one of us as I close, that as you set out to live for the Lord, and I trust that you want to live for Him, and I trust that you are living for Him. But listen, when you determine that you're going to live for God, you will experience blessings. You will experience some mountaintop experiences. I have experienced so many of those in my life. God is good, and God is good all the time. He'll never cease to be good. And God wants you to live on the victory side, right? That's where He wants you to live. But with all that said, you're going to be opposed. Whenever any teenager, whenever any adult in this church says, you know what, I'm going to step it up, I'm going to live for God, I haven't been, but I'm going to live for Him, you can expect the opposition to come. It can come to you in different ways. Believe it or not, it can come in your family. You might have some relatives that might say, why are you so serious about this thing about living for God? Why don't you just relax? Take it easy. You're going to heaven anyway, so eat, drink, and be merry. Have fun. Sometimes opposition can come from family. Sometimes the opposition can come from a coworker. Sometimes an opposition can come from other areas. But I will tell you this morning, understand that victory comes from the Lord. I want you to live in victory. I want you to, but more importantly than me wanting you to live in victory, here's what God says. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants you to live in victory. Are you living in victory? Don't live in defeat, but live in victory. But I want you to be mindful this morning. Let me get just review with you quickly these four truths. Remember to whom you answer. Remember to pray daily. Remember to grow. Just purposefully say, I'm going to grow more in my life. And then remember to watch. Stay on guard. Don't let your guard down. Stay true to Him. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I thank You this morning for the power of Your Word. It's challenged me this morning, even preaching it. Thank You for the challenges throughout the week as I have thought about various truths for my own life. Father, I thank You for these good people. You love them so much. In fact, you love us more than we even know. And you want us to live in victory. You don't want us to live in defeat. That's where our enemy wants us to go. He doesn't want any of us really getting serious about living for you. He doesn't want any of us really getting serious about prayer and witnessing to others and giving of our money to the Lord and giving more of our time to serving the Lord. And he doesn't want us to get serious about those things, but you want us to. That's where the blessings really lie. Help me not to miss it. Help the church family not to miss it. Help them to say, God helping me, I'm going to persist even through the opposition that may come. I'm going to live for God no matter what. Thank you for the example of Nehemiah and these wall builders. They had their opposers for sure, but they built the wall together. And I thank you for their example. And so, Father, now challenge us. In your name I pray, now with their heads bowed. Would there be those here this morning who would say, Pastor, I want to live for God. I really do. But I'm struggling. And I would that you remember me in prayer this morning, that I would persist even through the struggle and begin to realize the victory and live in the victory. Pastor, that's my need in my life this morning. I really want to live for God, but I've been struggling. I have. I'll admit it this morning. I've been struggling to live for God. But I hear this morning from the Word of God that I can live in victory, and that's where I want to go. If that's you this morning, would you lift your hand up right where you're at? Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Are there others? Yes, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? Say, God has challenged my heart this morning. I have been defeated. I have been. I don't want to live there. I want to live in victory. Anybody else? Just lift your hand up. Say, Pastor, I want to live in victory in my life. Yes, God bless you. Are there others? Say, I want to live in victory. I don't want to live in this valley of defeat. Anybody else? Remember me in prayer, Pastor, this morning. Now let me ask you this, because I never tried to assume this, but do you know for sure today that if you died, you'd go to heaven? Do you know for sure that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior? If the answer to that is no, would you like to know? Would you like to know Jesus is your Savior? There'd be those here this morning who say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus is my Savior. I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. If that's you, would you lift your hand up right where you're at? Anybody at all while we wait? Pastor, I don't know Jesus. I don't know him as my Savior. I don't know if I drop dead right now that I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know. If that's your need in your life this morning, would you raise your hand right where you're at? Remember, you in prayer this morning. Anybody at all while we wait? And now, precious Father, I thank you for working in hearts. Thank you for the victory that you give us. And how I'd pray now that during this time of invitation, people will respond not only inwardly but outwardly and take some time and just kneel here today and say, Lord, help me to live in victory this week. Help me to live in victory over the enemy. Help me to live in victory. Father, may that be their prayer this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.